Let's have a look at the passage then. So Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Jesus said to them, and that is to a large crowd that he's teaching at this point, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear." He continued, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." Now, most of us in life have a pretty deep-seated desire to live lives that are significant, that make a difference, that count in some way. One of the classic examples of that, or classic expressions of that, was in the film Chariots of Fire. You've seen it. It tells the story of the Christian runner Eric Liddell competing in the 1924 Olympic Games. And his main opponent, Harold Abrahams, in the run-up to the 100-meter final, famously said this: "And now in 1 hour's time, I will be out there again. I will raise my eyes and look down the corridor 4 feet wide with 10 lonely seconds to justify my whole existence. But will I?" It's kind of deep-seated desire to be significant. Now, one of the liberating things about being a Christian is that we no longer have to look to our own achievements to justify our existence. As Mark's gospel has been showing us, Jesus has come with good news of a kingdom of light that he is inviting us to belong to. This kingdom is in fact the most significant thing going on in the world today. So you may not read about it in the papers, but it's far more significant than COVID-19 or Brexit or the US elections. This kingdom, it may not occupy much of your headspace, but it's far more significant than your job or your kids' schooling or your hobbies or your pastimes. And here's the thing, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been invited to be part of this kingdom. As we've seen in the last few chapters of Mark's gospel, Jesus has called you out of the crowd and into his family. And he has good plans for you. His intention is that, like seed on good soil, his words will create in you a great harvest, a kingdom harvest. Now, by grace, his word is designed to have a life-transforming impact in you that will lead to you having a huge impact for him in his kingdom. In other words, his plan is to give each of us on our lives the most extraordinary significance within his kingdom. But as Jesus teaches the crowd and indeed his own disciples, he wants to make one thing very clear to us, and that is that we have a part to play in this whole process. Yes, the invitation, wonderfully, it's by grace. Jesus has done everything. But we have a responsibility in how we respond to him. And actually, our response will determine the extent to which our lives will make an impact or count for Jesus and his kingdom. Now, don't mishear me. We are loved equally, no matter what we do. But we can be more or less fruitful in Jesus' kingdom as his disciples. And that depends on how we keep responding to him and to his gospel word. Now, in this short passage, we dig into a couple of responses to Jesus and his word that will make us ever more fruitful for him. And it's two very basic instructions for us to take away today. Keep putting the lamp on the stand, And keep opening your ears to the word. They're the two things. Simple, but I think relatively far-reaching. Let's just have a look at the first. Okay, so keep putting the lamp on the stand. Jesus said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now, on one level, it's a very simple point. Okay, a lamp is meant to be on the stand, not under the bowl. And in the same way, Jesus and his message have come into our world as a light that is meant to shine out. Okay, now for those who were there this afternoon, we illustrated this at the service with a candle, and we're going to do it again now. Okay, just for the benefit of those who weren't there. So here's what we've all got to do. We're going to have a little kind of a break for like 20 seconds, and you just have to go and turn off all your lights. Okay. Now, if you're into mood lighting, this is going to be complicated, but I think that's your problem rather than mine. So everyone go and just turn off all the lights and come back in just a second. Okay, now sadly we have the glow of our computer screen, which we can't do much about. But there it is, you see, and I can't even see my script anymore. So we're just going to go freestyle for now. But here's the thing that the Bible says about the world. It says that morally and spiritually, our world is as dark as our screens right now. Okay, because we've walked out on God, and this is where we've ended up, in darkness. And Jesus came, okay, as a light. And he came to bring light. Now, how did he spread that light? Through his word, through his teaching, for everything that he said. That's how he came to be a light. Now, the whole reason you bring a light into a room is so that you can see. And in the same way, the whole reason that Jesus came into our world is so that we as humanity can see. He morally and spiritually can see. The light is not meant to be under a bowl. And neither is Jesus. He is meant to be on a stand. Okay, now listen, you can go and turn your lights back on again now. Now, I guess one of the questions that we ask is, okay, well, okay, I heard that before. I know that Jesus is a light. It's something that's quite familiar in the Bible. But how is he like a light? Well, he shows us things that naturally, spiritually, morally, we are in the dark about. And here are a couple of the headlines on that. He shows us God's heart. Okay, that's the first way I think that Jesus is like a lamp on a stand. He shows us God's heart. You know, there are so many caricatures that people think about God. I've been reading a lovely book by Dorothy Sayers, and kind of Christian, well, she's a kind of novelist in the 40s and 50s, wrote detective books, but also a deep Christian thinker. And this is what she speculated and imagined the average Brit in the 1940s thinking about the God of the Bible. Okay, here's the quote. So this is the everyday Brit of the 40s. This is what she imagined them thinking about the Bible. He created, thinking about the God of the Bible, he created the world and imposed on man conditions impossible of fulfillment. He's very angry if these are not carried out. He sometimes intervenes by means of arbitrary judgments and miracles, distributed with a good deal of favoritism. He's always ready to pounce on anyone who trips up or is having a bit of fun. He is rather like a dictator, only larger and more arbitrary. Now, I thought that was a great quote. That was the 1940s, okay, nearly 80 years later now. Probably fewer people in Britain believe in God at all. But if people do, you know, I don't think the general picture has changed much in terms of people's kind of gut perception of what God is like. You know, he's the kind of guy in the sky, indifferent, remote. Perhaps he's there, perhaps not, who knows? But here's the point. Jesus comes as a light, as a lamp, to show us God's heart. As he announced the kingdom of God, he shows us how different God is to those ideas that naturally we sinful people come up with, because we see Jesus acting with grace and with compassion. We see a personality fizzing with life and energy. We see a man so perfectly directed by love that he willingly sacrificed himself for us. That is God's heart. Okay, Jesus shines into the darkness of our confusion about God. His light chases away the false caricatures that we so easily believe. He shows us God's heart, but he also shows us God's plan. Okay, here's the beginning of Luke's gospel, talking about John the Baptist's ministry, pointing people to Jesus. So, and you, my child, so this is talking about John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Okay, you will go before the Lord to prepare, says Jesus, you'll go before the Lord Jesus to prepare the way for him, to give people the knowledge of salvation. Now, this is what Jesus has come to do, through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So do you see what it's saying? Jesus will shine on those living in darkness by bringing the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of our sins. That is God's kingdom plan, a plan of mercy and redemption. And so if there is anyone who feels crushed with guilt, Jesus shines God's plan to forgive and heal. If there is anyone who feels lost, at sea, busy and stressed but directionless, Jesus shines God's plan to welcome us home into his family and bring us peace. Okay, Jesus and his word come as a lamp on a stand, showing us God's heart, showing us God's plan. But back to Mark, and just look at the verse again, because in a sense, we've seen what Jesus says. He's a lamp on a stand. Okay, but why does he say it? Well, just look at verse 22. He says, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. Now, at the time when Jesus was first announcing the kingdom, again, just look again at verse 22 there. When he was first announcing the kingdom, there had to be a process of revelation. Okay, there was so much confusion and misunderstanding about God's promised Messiah. There was so much potential for misinformation and fake news to spread that the light had to shine out gradually. So there was a sense in which, to start, it seemed hidden. And yet Jesus is saying, yes, it may seem a little obscure to many at the moment, but don't misunderstand. The light will shine more and more. Okay, this is the beginning of a process in which the light will shine further and further and further. Okay, that was the listeners at that particular time Jesus spoke the words. Now, as we listen to those words, we're at a very different stage in that process. Okay, the careful initial announcing has happened. Okay, the heart of the rescue has happened. His death on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension and pouring out of the Spirit. We're at a point in the process where the message no longer needs to be carefully managed like it had to be in the kind of gospel narratives that we read, but rather, as Jesus says elsewhere, shouted from the rooftops, because the lamp is meant to be on the stand. That's the whole point about Jesus and his message. Okay, so for us, the message is pretty simple. Keep putting the lamp on the stand. Don't hide Jesus and the Bible that testifies to him away under a bowl or under the bed. Okay, don't just keep him for your church friends or your personal life. Keep putting him on the stand. Don't you think our dark world needs his light right now? And so as you enjoy the light of Jesus yourself, and by the way, as Christians, it's so easy to forget how much we benefit from his light. Every day it becomes so much a part of the fabric of our life, we forget what it's like without it. But as you enjoy the light of Jesus yourself, please, friends, let's keep putting him on the stand for others. That's the whole point of a lamp. Okay, in what area of your life could you do that, I wonder? In what relationships could you do that? What bowls do you need to remove? Okay, you want to be fruitful for Jesus, keep putting the lamp on the stand. But here's the second point, and it's simple and a little short. So keep opening your ears to the word. Now, I just want you to notice something really interesting. Okay, here. Now, just have a look. Okay, keep opening your ears to the word. Just have a look at verse 23. Okay, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, that's how he finishes that little, you know, that's how he sums up verses 21 to 22. Now, what's odd about that, okay? Just think about it. I mean, he's just been talking about light. Now, which part of the body do we associate with light? But Jesus doesn't talk about our eyes. Instead, he goes straight back to talking about our ears and our hearing. Now, why does he do that? Well, because you see the light by listening to the word. Okay, you want to see more light? To see more of God's heart and his plan? Well, you see the light by listening to the word. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. And so, therefore, keep opening your ears to the word. Okay, verse 24, consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. So Jesus says it's not just about hearing. We need to consider carefully what you hear. And the more open your ears, the more you will receive. That's the point of, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Okay, we those who are at the service this afternoon, we illustrated that, we saw that you can approach Jesus and his word with kind of bucket ears, hungrily hearing, thoughtfully applying that word into your life, humbly lining your life up with what it says. Okay, bucket ears, eager to listen, to learn, to grow, to keep making progress. Now, if you come to God's word with bucket ears, then the point is simple. You will be laden up with buckets worth of fruit in your life, of spiritual light and understanding, of joy and peace in Jesus. Bucket loads of fruitful service in his kingdom. And it's not even just light for light. Jesus says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Okay, there's a generosity here. He's not stingy. He's ready and waiting to bless and give us light and fruit. But that can only happen according to the measure with which we listen. Because, as again we saw this afternoon, it's possible also to listen with teaspoon ears. Okay, to make no time for the Bible, to zone out in the sermons, to be too busy to read the Bible with our kids. Oh, friends, please make time to read the Bible with your kids or your grandkids. Okay, how are they going to know the light unless they listen to the word? And when we do read the Bible, you know, so often we are distracted by these wretched devices. I mean, is that just me? I'm trying to get a bit of focus and it buzzes off again. Teaspoon ears will yield teaspoon fruit, teaspoon light and understanding, teaspoon joy and peace in Jesus, teaspoon effectiveness in his kingdom. And actually, there's a warning in verse 25. Did you spot this? Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. Okay, the point here is about trajectory. If you keep listening with a big measure, you will keep growing and keep listening more. It's a kind of positive spiral upwards. But those who never truly listen, even the cursory interest they had will soon disappear. And with it, the mercy and forgiveness and eternal life that comes with the kingdom will disappear as well. And only judgment will remain. And so again, Jesus so often is a bit of a sting at the end. And so he says, consider carefully what you hear. So if we want to bear maximum fruit in our lives, to be contributing more and more to the most significant thing going on in the world today, God's kingdom, Jesus tells us, cultivate bucket ears. Keep opening your ears to the word. And, you know, I hear this as a word to us, the church family as well. Trinity at Four, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, on one level, that happens by grace. Okay, it happens as God opens your heart to understand and hunger for him. Praise God if he's doing that work in your life. It's a work of grace. But once that work of grace begins, we must keep in step with God's work to cultivate a humble, hungry heart that longs to listen deeply and attentively to his word in the Bible. So let's just slow down as we wrap up for this evening to think together. Are there some simple steps that you need to take just to start cultivating that kind of hearing of God's word? I wonder, have you ever developed the discipline of daily time reading the Bible? Okay, by the way, if you want a brilliant book to help you think thoughtfully about reading the Bible in this kind of way, okay, this is the book for you. It's amazing. Eugene Peterson, Eat This Book. Okay, The Art of Spiritual Reading, how to listen carefully to God in the Bible. I found this book so helpful. I'd encourage you to read it if you haven't. Okay, but have you developed the discipline of daily time reading the Bible in that kind of way, where we're listening carefully? Okay, is church a key fixture each week because you know that you will hear from God in his word there? Is it something that actually we respond to by working it through, praying it through in the week, chatting it through with others? Many different ways that we can cultivate this kind of hearing of God's word. Now, as we've seen, there's a great incentive to do that because actually with the measure you use, with the measure with which you listen, it will be measured to you. So if you feel sometimes like a spiritual pygmy, it could just be because you've got pygmy ears. Okay, and by God's grace, it's possible for that to change. So we started by saying that we all have this deep-seated desire to live lives that are significant. Well, praise be to Jesus, who by his death on the cross for us has opened wide an invitation to be part of his kingdom, to be part of the most significant work going on in the world today. And praise be to Jesus, because there is always more for us, more growth, more fruit, more understanding, more light, more service of our King. And so can I encourage us all this evening, keep putting the lamp on the stand and keep opening your ears to the word. Well, let me pray as we close. Father, we thank you so much for the kingdom of light that by grace Jesus welcomes us into. All of the cost paid by him, all of the blessings given to us. And so we pray that we would respond with open ears, ready to listen more, that we might see more of that light, that we might live lives fruitful, like the seed that bears a hundredfold a fruit for you. And Lord, just help us to know what small step we need to take as we respond together this evening. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen.